Thank you, Mr. Chapichak, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our visitors. Well, you may have noticed that a couple weeks ago we had a full moon, and with that, we are now less than 2 months until the Feast of Tabernacles. A couple nights ago we experienced a new moon, of course, where it is hardly visible at all. So with that, of course, reminds us that we are a month out from the Feast of Trumpets. With trumpets approaching, we are reminded that God's plan of intervention for this world is approaching. Mr. Fay used to remind us that the holy days are stop signs amidst our lives. They're designed for us to stop what we're doing and pay attention to what God is doing. God, as we know, is going to get the world's attention leading up to the events of Christ's second coming. In Jesus Christ's Olivet prophecy, Christ was asked about the events leading up to his second coming. He told his disciples to be ready, for he would return at an hour that they did not expect. Prior to Christ's return, we understand that there is going to be a 3.5-year great tribulation. Christ references a warning from Daniel the prophet in the Olivet prophecy. Daniel spoke of sacrifices in Jerusalem that would be restarting and stopping before the beginning of the great tribulation. Would it surprise you to know that there is a priesthood in Israel training for the eventual restarting of the sacrifices right now? Preparing to begin those sacrifices as soon as it is politically feasible. Brethren, Jesus Christ warned his disciples that he will return at a time when we do not expect. He instructs us to be watching and to be ready. Today I'd like to examine what is involved in being ready spiritually. Let's begin by taking a look at the Olivet prophecy and see Christ's warning for readiness. Please turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 24, and let's pick up the story in verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Greek word for ready here is the Strong's G2092. It's hetoimos. It's from the noun hetos, meaning fitness. Hetoimos means to be ready or be prepared. I would like to initially focus on this interwoven concept here of fitness with readiness. The American Heritage Stedman's Medical Dictionary defines fitness as the state or condition of being physically sound and healthy, especially the result of exercise or proper nutrition. A state of general mental and physical well-being. Now, instead of thinking here about physical fitness, let's think about fitness in terms of our spiritual walk. Being in a state of readiness means that we would be spiritually sound and healthy. We would be exercising and utilizing the Holy Spirit in our everyday life and practicing our faith as a matter of habit. We would also be well nourished, attached to the vine of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and well supplied by taking in God's word. let's think about fitness in another respect. We've probably all heard the term fitness report. If you Google U.S. Navy fitness report, you will find a couple popular fitness reports that are used to evaluate sailors. On there, you will find a category for watch standing. Active communication is a category. There's one for technical expertise, one for operational competence, one for vision and strategic thinking. Then, of course, there's a category for evaluating character, leadership, and what the Navy calls a sense of heritage. Heritage means that one would be able to know and to teach the customs of the U.S. Navy to others. So let's think about these same categories in a spiritual sense. Christ tells us that we are to be on watch for him, and we're also to be on watch inwardly examining ourselves. In relation to communication, we are to have fellowship and exhortation with one another, and we are to have open, honest, constant communication with our Father. We need to have technical expertise in knowing the truth of God's Word and to be able to discern right from wrong with it. We are to have the strategic vision of the kingdom of God and the hope of salvation guiding our outlook. There is necessity to be competent in our walk, to build righteous character by overcoming sin, and leading by our example. And finally, we are to have the same sense of heritage, being able to know and to teach the Word of God to others. That's the goal. How well do we grade out in these categories? Let's take a look at a few examples of what it looks like when we aren't in a state of hetoimos, by seeing where else that word is used and what we can learn from it around those areas. Please turn with me, if you will, to Luke 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Just before our passage, there was a dispute among the disciples as to who was the greatest. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready, hetoimos, to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." It's interesting that the context of this passage comes directly after Peter, as well as the other disciples, their thought process was just revealed. Their thought process indicates that they were obviously evaluating themselves very highly. Peter thought his fitness level must have been quite high. However, he had confidence in himself and confidence in a wrong idea that Christ would restore the kingdom at that time and never be captured. Peter didn't recognize his shortcomings. There is a lesson here for you and I as well. We should err on the side of grading our fitness report with scrutiny rather than glossing over our weaknesses. And we need to have our confidence founded in the truth of God. Let's find hetoimos in another example of what unreadiness looks like by turning, if you will, to Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. In the preceding passage in Luke, Jesus has just instructed that when you give a feast, don't invite your friends, relatives, and your rich neighbors, but instead invite the poor and the unfortunate. So this is a lesson, a principle coming into this story here. Verse 16, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, that I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. This passage starts with our Greek word for readiness. God has prepared or readied his great supper. However, the invitees all began to make excuses of why they can't attend. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary makes the point that the 3 excuses could be categorized as the following. First, cares of this world in regard to the ground. The deceitfulness of riches in regard to oxen. And the pleasures of this life in regard to marrying a wife. None of these things are inherently wrong to pursue. However, when the pursuit of them exhausts us of time and energy resources so that these pursuits supersede our pursuit of the kingdom, then we have a problem. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown also notes that no one says they won't come, but except for certain reasons, they would come. So in other words, they want to be there, but they're just not ready to go now. We'll get around to it later. Do we have other stuff in our lives that doesn't allow us to fully respond to God in this life? Things that can get in the way from us doing what is truly important. The idea of excuses as being an obstacle to readiness is brought out here, along with putting other pursuits ahead of our pursuit of God's salvation being first. Let's look at one more example of what it looks like when we are not in a state of readiness. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 21, verse 29. Luke chapter 21 and verse 29. Christ has just recited the events that will precede his second coming in the prior verses here. Luke 21, 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And here in verse 34, but take heed to yourselves. So hold the mind towards, or pay attention, is what he's saying here. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. It's easy to see when trees start budding in the spring, right? You look out, one day there's just a little twig there, and the next day there's something attached to the twig. However, it's much more subtle and gradual to discern when spring gives way to summer, isn't it? When does that time actually happen if you're not watching a calendar? The change is not as dramatic. But you know when trees are budding that summer isn't that far behind. If we aren't paying attention to what's going on around us because we have allowed ourselves to be weighed down by misguided pursuits and pleasures, then we can miss this subtlety. Long ago, Mr. Armstrong, inspired by God, warned of the coming unification of Europe as a precursor to the rise of the beast. At the time, it seemed completely improbable. When you had the Soviet Empire basically controlling half of Europe at the time. But when the Berlin Wall was knocked down, it got people's attention. Since then, years have gone by, decades since the formation of the European Union. It's easy to take the unification of Europe for granted and become numb to its progress. The same was true in Noah's time. Who knows how long that ark sat there going up in the plain view of everyone. People grew accustomed to it as a backdrop in their lives. But then one day, it says, the flood came and took them all away. Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. We've been hearing about the return of Christ for decades. It's been 83 years since Mr. Armstrong began warning about it. How easy is it to begin to grow so accustomed to it as the backdrop of our lives that we don't recognize that summer is still nearing? If we are caught up in a life that is consumed by the cares of this world, we are promised to miss it. Okay, we've seen what not being ready looks like. Let's take a look at what actions the spiritually prepared, ready, and fit engage in. Jesus in Luke 12 tells his disciples, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Girding your waist meant that you were sitting at the ready. You would ungird your garments. In the day, they had the flowing robes were the most common form of clothing. And if your waist was ungirded, that means you were at home and you were relaxing. And you were not prepared to take on any new tasks or leave the house. Peter made mention of this concept later in his own writing in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Let's turn there, if we will, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. In the preceding verses, Peter is talking about the subject of salvation. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. There's no idol here that is redeeming their lives that's made of silver and gold. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that's how we're redeemed. what does it mean to gird up the loins of your mind? Expositor's Bible Commentary explains, or and I'm going to paraphrase it here, that if someone doesn't have their garment girded, they are helpless for doing work. It says, helpless for doing work. Sometimes I feel like that. I'm helpless for doing work. Peter makes the point that one cannot be productive spiritually if one's mind is not girded, if it's not fastened, if it's not prepared. The mind must be trained with self-restraint through the indwelling of God's Spirit. This produces obedience in us. It requires us to put off our former lusts and no longer be conformed to the same pattern. So conforming is a pattern. Think of it as a pattern that you might make a piece of clothing out of. And to leave that pattern is what we're supposed to do, not stay in that same form. We are called to holiness in our conduct. So let's look at the process of girding our minds again by turning to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready, hetoimos, to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want us to consider these verses here in the context of the internal warfare that each of us has personally in our own individual headspace. Each of us have strongholds left over from our carnal selves. Our spiritual war involves us assaulting these strongholds with the spiritual weapons that God gives us. Part of our readiness involves us being attuned to the areas of disobedience within ourselves and being prepared to punish, if you will, those areas of disobedience by addressing them to make them part of the program that we have to change about ourselves. Spiritual fitness involves us exercising in this way. Let's look at more actions that the spiritually fit and ready engage in. Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul is writing Titus here to give him instruction in his ministry. Titus 3, 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready, hetoimos, for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness, which we have done, so it's going to take more than what we can do to produce this, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, And these things I want you to be to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. The spiritually ready will be subject to authority. They will be ready for every good work. Much as the first responder sits at the firehouse waiting for an opportunity to help people when he's called, so the Christian should be prepared, ready, and actively looking for how he or she can serve others in this life. Paul tells Titus that if people believe in God, that they should be careful to maintain good works. Are these the traits of our lives today? They reflect our level of fitness and readiness spiritually. Now that we have looked at what unreadiness looks like, and we have looked at the actions that the ready engage in, let's look at one final element of readiness that we need to consider. Please turn with me back to 1 Peter, and let's pick up in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3. Peter is writing to the diaspora here, the converted Israelites that are dispersed in Gentile areas. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So this salvation is ready to be revealed to us. Again, we're back here to God being prepared in his role. God has conceived a plan for you and me. He's established an inheritance for us and reserved it in heaven for us. He's readied it for us. He's done his part. But before we can get to this point, we must become ready. We must go through trials, having our faith made genuine and tested by fire. But it's all for a purpose, so that we may eventually bring praise, honor, and glory to God at the fulfillment of his plan of salvation. He calls you and me to join him in his readiness by becoming ready ourselves. As the Feast of Trumpets nears, we are reminded of the plan of God. God is ready to intervene in the affairs of this world. The time when he will do so is approaching. It has been approaching since the days of the first century church. But as it was then and as it is now, given this knowledge, we cannot become complacent and numb to its current subtlety. We can't allow our fitness level to atrophy through lack of spiritual exercise. We can't become malnourished through a disconnection with our vine or a separation from God's word, being ever present in our thoughts. We can't overestimate our own fitness level, as Peter did initially. We can't allow excuse making to be a reason why we allow the cares of this world to choke us out of the kingdom of God. Instead, we must have our minds girded in order to be spiritually productive now. Self-restraint and obedience need to be practiced, putting off our former lusts and attacking the old strongholds of sin need to be the order of the day. Maintaining good works needs to be the priority in our lives. As the time now approaches slowly and subtly, let's remember that our own readiness is a requirement for the kingdom of God. Let's continue to be watching for the return of our master so that we are not caught unprepared.